I'm Mike Hogan with part four of the live and local interview with OPS Superintendent Dr. Cheryl Logan.
You mentioned the one-to-one technology initiative. Is there any update yet on where we are regarding the distribution of those tools, that kind of timeline?
Well, we'll tell you, they've started to arrive. We're well positioned to, first of all, make sure our teachers have them first. I got an email from a teacher today, wanted to find out when they were getting theirs, and it'll be soon. And to make sure they get in the hands of our children as fast as and as quickly as possible.
And I just want to, FYI, and please correct me on this, but FYI, and again, for those listening, it's not as though these iPads just come in a box and then you can hand out the box. They have to be configured. They have to be, security has to be put on them, all these things. And that has to be done individually, one by one. And we have 52,000 of them showing up. So there's a lot
56,000.
56,000. There's a lot of work to be done with each and every one of these.
Correct.
So you can't just hand them out the day they show up. There's a lot of things that are going to be different this year, obviously. One of the things I want to start with, just real quickly, you know, for those that are new to the area or moving to the area, there's actually there's enrollment options available, including online and drive-through. If you just want to take a couple of seconds to mention that.
We have enrollment for a pandemic. We have drive-through enrollment. You can come here, and typically we're outside. It was raining today, so this is the third time I've come here and it's been raining. So that's a that's an omen. It's a positive omen because we need the rain. And the so we have that option, and we also have had since May 1st, we've had online enrollment. So I know we had the last time I checked, which is at least a month ago, there had been already 1,200 enrollments on online. And so we have that opportunity for families to come and to make it as convenient as possible. We obviously have in-person, and we have translation available and bilingual support, depending on the language that's needed, so that families can enroll.
Outstanding. One of the things I want to point out for those that that may be new to the area, that immunization records are part of what's required as well, proof of residency and that type of thing. And with that, with immunization, do children have to be immunized to attend OPS?
They do. They do have to be. There's a we have the lowest percentage of opt-out immunizations in the entire Omaha metro. And we also, because we've had a pandemic, we've been in a pandemic and schools have been closed since March, we actually opened our in-school-based health centers earlier because we realized that children may have missed immunizations that are required since March. And we also, working with the Omaha Medical Society and Carol Wang, I want to give her a shout out as well, to get the message out to our primary care physicians and our pediatricians that reminders to make sure, not for them, but to help with them helping our families to make sure that they get those required immunizations and that they may have missed during, you know, routine well child visits that would have occurred had we not been out of school in the case of school-based health centers or, you know, in a pandemic.
Sure.
In the case of primary care physicians.
Sure. That popped into my head. Do you think that if instead of COVID-19, this was a measles outbreak or a mumps outbreak, that we would have the pushback on wearing masks that we're getting now? I mean, we get immunized for those things because we have, you know, we have vaccines that can fix that. However...
Oh, heavens, Mike. I'm not wading into that pond.
All right, that's fair.
I just want folks to wear their facial covering so we can have school in 4 weeks from yesterday.
Sure. That's fair enough. What is the process? I was thinking last night as I was putting this together that, you know, sometimes, and I had it happen to me, where the dog ate my homework.
Mm-hmm.
If the dog chews on the mask... And the child comes to school without a mask, there are disposables here for everybody.
And we will have disposables, and we also will have additional cloth facial coverings for our young people because we know people are going to lose them, right? Because that's what young people and old people do. We lose things. So there will be, we ordered a percentage overage that we kind of felt. And we likely, to be honest, we probably will have to make another order, even of the cloth, facial coverings to ensure that we have enough. As I'm starting to understand the wear and tear on them, we will likely have to replenish that for our young people. And some people are bringing their own. We've had lots of people who are pledged donations, and we look forward to receiving those. We bought a lot of face shields, to be honest. We have mm-hmm. folks that are deaf and hard of hearing. We know they need to have face shields. I heard from a couple of teachers, and they were so tickled that we had already thought about it. And I was tickled that they were tickled. And we have a lot of personal protection equipment, PPE, that we have purchased and will continue to purchase, gowns and things that we normally don't necessarily need, but we know that our staff are going to need those things so they can be safe.
And what a fun way to express yourself, by the way, a face covering with your favorite team on it or what have you.
I have one that has a Dr. Seuss one that Mrs. Donna Dobson, who works in our, who's our director of elementary ed, her mother made for me. So I want to make sure she gets recognition too. I really appreciate it.
Join us tomorrow at 7:45 a.m. and 3:45 p.m. for part 5 of the 5-part conversation with Superintendent of Omaha Public Schools, Dr. Cheryl Logan, here on 91.5 FM or on the web at KIOS.org. I'm Mike Hogan. Now back to NPR programming.